Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle.
And I'm Tom Baudet. It's March Madness and all eyes are on the court. Will Louisville or Indiana make it to the Final Four? Will Adam finally be allowed to marry Steve? Oops, wrong court. Make your wagers. Plus, singer Aaron Neville will join us to do what? Oh, do WAP. Got it. Sorry, I'm a little green at this. And Carl Castle explains how he feels about me hosting the show.
The only way this story could be better would be if he had been orphaned as a baby and was about to graduate from wizard school.
We'll tell you what to do when the owl comes for you and our weekly quiz right after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. Pope Francis delivered his first Easter Sunday message today and made a plea for peace in the world's hotspots. NPR's Sylvia Pagioli reports the Pope focused on the Middle East, Africa, and the two Koreas.
At the end of the Mass, Francis drove through the crowds in St. Peter's Square on board his open Popemobile, shaking hands, kissing babies, and taking a disabled child into his arms. He continued to put his stamp on the Catholic Church with shorter rituals and direct language. Francis delivered his message to the city and the world from the central balcony of St. Peter's Basilica. He appealed for peace in the Middle East, focusing in particular on Syria, and in Asia, on the Korean Peninsula. Francis, the first pope from the developing world and the first Jesuit pope, condemned human trafficking, which he called the most extensive form of slavery in the 21st century, and the iniquitous exploitation of natural resources. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Rome.
NATO and Afghan officials are investigating reports that a NATO airstrike caused civilian casualties in eastern Afghanistan yesterday. NATO confirms its forces did launch a helicopter attack against militants, but could not confirm if civilians were harmed. NATO airstrikes are an ongoing source of controversy in Afghanistan. Former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev is weighing in on Russia's government. Jesse Gallagher reports from Moscow. Gorbachev says that more unrest is possible.
The 82-year-old Gorbachev says the Kremlin has managed to beat down the recent wave of protests against Vladimir Putin's unprecedented third term as president, but maintains that if the political situation in Russia remains the same, dissent will increase. Gorbachev says he believes Russians will continue to try to move towards a real democracy, and the result will be of historical significance. He made the comments after the Kremlin has sought to clamp down on dissent by increasing the fines for participating in opposition protests by more than 150-fold and by bringing criminal charges against the leaders involved in them. Earlier this week, Russian officials performed surprise searches of foreign-funded non-governmental organizations. The Kremlin denies any crackdown, maintaining it is merely trying to enforce the law. For NPR News, I'm Jessica Gallagher in Moscow.
In West Virginia, organizers expect thousands to protest a coal company plan to stop paying health care and pension benefits for retired miners. Dan Hyman has more.
Patriot Coal says it's been forced into bankruptcy and says it needs to shed more than $1 billion in obligations to remain viable. But John Aliff, a retired miner with black lungs, says they still plan to give millions in executive bonuses.
They want to strip us of everything we work for and then turn around and give damn bonuses to the people that screwed over us. One day you're working for your retirement, your health care, and it could be all gone with a snap of a finger.
The protest is Monday morning in Charleston, West Virginia. For NPR News, I'm Dan Hyman in Charleston.
This is NPR News. The FBI is assisting in the investigation of the deaths of a district attorney and his wife in North Texas. Their bodies were found in their home yesterday in Kaufman County, about 33 miles southeast of Dallas. An assistant district attorney from the same office was shot to death 2 months ago. Officials say they don't know yet if there's a connection. The teams left in the NCAA men's basketball tournament will be whittled down further today. Half of the Final Four is set. Syracuse and Wichita State have already qualified this weekend. NPR's Mike Pesca previews today's games.
Now that Syracuse's Jim Boeheim has brought his orange to the national semifinals, he becomes one of four coaches to reach the Final Four in four different decades. Dean Smith is on that list, so are two coaches who face each other today. Mike Krzyzewski, coach of Duke, has won four national titles. His opponent, Rick Pitino of Louisville, has one. The two legendary coaches have 17 Final Four appearances between them. Louisville has been the most dominant team this tournament, but Duke is one of the few opponents that could match the athleticism of the Cardinals. The winner of that game will face Wichita State. Syracuse faces the winner of today's game between Florida and Michigan. Mike Pesca, NPR News.
Police in Paris say a man broke into the Museum of Natural History carrying a chainsaw, which he used to cut off the tusk of an elephant skeleton. Police were alerted by a neighbor who heard sawing sounds at 3 o'clock yesterday morning. The suspect was arrested outside the museum with the chainsaw and the tusk. His motive is unknown. Officials say the skeleton belonged to an elephant that the King of Portugal gave to King Louis XIV of France in the 17th century. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from PBS, where Frontline and Independent Lens bring David Sutherland's story of one Sioux woman's struggle to save her family. Kind-hearted woman, tomorrow at 9.
When did you shout last time you were so happy?
Yeah! Yeah!
There were bars of color, and I was floating through them, and they were floating through me.
My experience was so exalted.
And it was just glorious.
It's beautiful.
Is it real?
Next time on Radiolab,
Bliss.
Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, filling in for Drew Carey, filling in for Peter Sagal, Tom Baudet.
Thank you, Carl. Wow. Those are some big and numerous shoes to fill. And by the end of the show, those shoes will be fuller than a preacher's pocket at a Sunday picnic. And by that, I mean what, Carl?
No clue, Tom.
You know, we were afraid this was going to happen. You see, Peter Sagal is a Harvard-educated, theatrically trained, urbane radio personality. I, on the other hand, ain't. Fortunately, we have Carl to translate my lovable folksy charm into a standard NPR English. Let's try it. Rivers come and go as they please, but you can't get the worm on the hook if your bass boat's tangled in the weeds. Carl, can you translate that to news, please?
Stocks at record levels.
See how easy that is? Well, let's see if your wits are sharper than a possum's tooth. Call in to play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Shannon from Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, hi, Shannon. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Do you have spring down there in Baltimore finally?
Not quite yet.
No? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Oh, me? Well, among other things, I'm a park ranger.
Yeah, where at?
Fort McHenry National Monument.
The Fort McHenry?
The Fort McHenry.
Holy smoke.
Wow.
Can you sing the Star Spangled Banner?
I can't sing it well.
All right, Shannon, let's meet this week's panel. First up, the only other panelist I know who owns a tractor and knows how to use it, P.J. O'Rourke.
Hi, Shannon.
Next, she's a senior editor and columnist for the Houston Chronicle, my friend, Kiri O'Connor.
Hi, Shannon.
And a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, flown in special to have my back, Adam Felber.
Hi, Shannon.
With those formalities taken care of, Shannon, you are about to play, oh yes, Who's Carl This Time? Carl Castle will read three quotes lifted from this week's news. If you can identify or explain some, or somehow manage to guess two of them, you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your home voicemail or other messaging device. Except for parrots or toucans. You won't do that again, right, Carl?
No.
All right, Shannon, you ready to play?
As I'll ever be.
All right. Here's your first quote.
Hey, Supremes, you can hurry love.
That was one of many signs outside the Supreme Court this week, which was hearing arguments about what?
That would be the Defense of Marriage Act.
That's right. Very good. Yes, the Supreme Court heard two cases involving gay marriage this week, one concerning Proposition 8, banning gay marriage in California, the other concerning the Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. Judging by the arguments so far, wedding planners are in pretty good shape. In fact, support for gay marriage has grown so large so quickly that many politicians on both sides of the aisle are finally showing the courage to do exactly what their extensive polling tells them it's now politically safe to do. Can you think of anyone who hasn't come out for gay marriage yet?
The Supreme Court.
There might be the last nine, right?
And you can tell they're hedging their bets, too. You can tell that they're all doing this calculus in the back room, like how bad would it look from a historical perspective if we just kind of do nothing?
Well, you know, there's now a line in front of the media microphones at the Capitol filled with members of Congress eager to join the gay pride parade. Wouldn't that be like the boringest float ever?
Please keep your shirts on. Please don't go for the mankini look.
Following a bunch of topless mermaids, here comes the Senate. Take a break, everybody.
Yeah. I'm still kind of amazed about California, you know, so banning a state in which no marriages work out.
Right. Well, you know, everyone seems to be following the example of the great pioneer Hillary Clinton, who declared her support for gay marriage all the way back last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was an early adopter.
She's to the gay rights movement what Rosa Parks is to the gay rights movement. Well, you know, there's some surprising people also coming out in support of gay marriage. Bill O'Reilly said this: "To this culture warrior, gay marriage is not a vital issue. I don't believe the Republic will collapse if Larry marries Brendan." Now, I think I speak on behalf of America when I ask, who's Larry and Brendan? I mean, what happened to Adam and Steve?
He did say that? He said Larry and Brendan?
He did, yeah. But
so
later,
he had to pick a name that he thought sounded a little bit gay, didn't he?
I think so, yeah. Shannon, here's your next quote.
It's like a child in a candy shop. If you haven't bought him a lolly and don't pay attention to his tantrums, he tries to intimidate you with things.
Now, that's a man named Leonid Petrov talking to London's Guardian newspaper about a country trying to intimidate its neighbor to the south and the United States. What country?
Could that be North Korea?
That would be North Korea. Very good.
I am so glad to hear that because I was worried it was Canada.
Yeah. No kidding.
The way that question is phrased, it could have been Canada.
Yeah. Yes, Kim Jong-un, the un-Kim, affectionately known as Lil' Kim by those who know him, like Dennis Rodman, is fearlessly leading his country into another high-stakes confrontation, similar to a four-year-old who hasn't had his nap. This week, North Korea cut the military hotline with the South Koreans. It's a sign of tension, but it's also a big historical moment. That was the last landline on Earth. It's going to be hard for North Korea now just having a cell phone. It isn't quite as intimidating to declare war via a text message. You are @war, LOL.
Man, the LOL always takes the gravitas out of it.
Our military is taking it seriously, and the Americans responded this week by putting on a little air show with a long-range nuclear-equipped stealth bomber joining in South Korea's war game demonstrations. You know, for South Korea, it's like going to the mall with your big buddy who, like, totally knows karate.
I don't know. If I were going to put on a big show, I'd do it with a plane they could see.
Yeah. Amen.
Shannon, here's your last quote.
The only way this story could be better would be if he had been orphaned as a baby and was about to graduate from wizard school.
That was Reuters columnist Jack Schaefer commenting on the media's fascination with a British teenager who just made $30 million selling an app to what company? Any ideas?
No, no.
Here's a hint. It's what you say when you get $30 million.
Oh, my God.
Or ohmygod.com.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
maybe
yeah.
If you're a cowboy.
If you're a cowboy? Yahoo?
There it is. Yes, Nick Delosio had been designing apps since he was 12. But it wasn't until he was a bitter mid-career professional at age 17 that he finally hit it big. Yahoo bought his app Sumly for $30 million. See, what Sumly does is it condenses complex news stories and gives them to you in easy-to-read bites. So, for example, it would take the story, Yahoo buys kids app for $30 million, and make it, God, I hate that kid.
But he just ripped off the entire idea behind USA Today.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's amazing. He's a lucky kid. I mean, I wish somebody would pay me to basically pose in front of a company brand to shine up its image and make it seem relatable. No, I know what you're thinking. That's not what I'm doing. Carl, how did Shannon do in our game?
Shannon had a perfect game, Tom. She wins our prize, and Shannon, I'll be doing the message on your voicemail or home answering service.
Well, thanks very much.
Shannon, thanks so much for playing
with
us.
Thank you, Shannon.
We want to remind everyone to join us mostly here, most weeks, at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. For tickets and more information than you're likely to need, go to waitwait.npr.org. There you can also find out about our big Cinecast event on May 2nd. Yep, Wait Wait is coming to a movie theater near you, live. Okay, panel, time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, shuffleboard and matlock may get a whole lot more interesting to a new generation of the elderly. The New York Times reports that older people have found a way to enhance their golden years. What are they doing?
They're tweeting about shuffleboard and matlock.
Let me give you a hint. You may soon hear Grandpa saying things like, have you ever really looked at your bony arthritic hands?
Oh, they're getting high.
That's right. They're getting high. Marijuana use among old folks is going up, according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Retirement home administrators got suspicious when they kept finding Murder, She Wrote with the sound turned down in the common room with Pink Floyd blaring over the PA.
To be fair, that totally works if you try it.
This is true. The Times said that many seniors in gated communities keep dime bags and vaporizers on hand. And with that...
Because we've given up smoking.
Right.
With that news, 10,000 college students decided, you know what, we should go visit Grandma.
Maybe she'll bake us some cookies.
Coming up, music legend Aaron Neville joins us to play Not My Job, and the panel gets really popular in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and RDO, a digital music service, allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com, the National Association of Realtors, and an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information is available at progressive.com. We'll be back in a minute or less, or your sandwich is free, with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Adam Felber, Kiri O'Connor, and P.J. O'Rourke. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, and filling in for Peter Sagal, who is spring breaking, Tom Baudet.
Thanks, Carl. You know, I can't wait to see that video, NPR radio host gone wild. Terry Gross has a second glass of wine and mauls Sylvia Poggioli's last name. Steve Inskeep reads his Kindle. While we're waiting for that fun, it's the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game on the air. Hello, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Tom, this is Larry Coven. I'm in Hollywood, but I'm originally from Chicago.
All right, Larry, how you doing out there?
Good. It's a great town. It never ceases to remind you what a wonderful city Chicago is.
Is that right? So you live in Hollywood, so you're a movie star. What have I seen you in?
I don't know. Have you seen Hack-O-Lantern or The Laughing Dead?
Yes, I have those.
Oh, good. Well, I'm the one who gets the axe in the head.
That was great. So it's great to have you, Larry. You're going to play the game where the panel lies to you and doesn't even feel the slightest bit bad about it.
No.
Carl, what's our topic?
This isn't a popularity contest. Oh, wait, it is.
You know, there's nothing more annoying than a friend who always has to pencil you in when you know full well he spends every single night of his life at home playing Call of Duty. Our panelists are going to tell you about someone's attempt to appear more popular than they are. Guess which one of these stories is not a bald-faced lie, and you'll win Carl's voice on your home answering machine or voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I'm going to beat this game like the Bulls did the Heat.
All right, there you go. First up, it's P.J. O'Rourke.
Personal popularity is so important these days. People are dying to be popular, literally. There's now a company that will send complete strangers to your funeral to be grief-stricken and show how popular you are, or were. Rent-A-Mourner is based in Essex, England. They provide men and women who never met you, but who are guaranteed to be bereft and sorrowful for £45 per hour each. It's all quite professionally done. Rent-A-Mourner briefs the hired sad people on your background, your achievements, your sterling qualities, and what a loss to the world the death of you is. Now, I'm guessing from family experience that Irish funerals present certain challenges to Rent-A-Mourner. I mean, finding just the right character to get drunk and tell the story of how you were left to mind the children, went to the pub instead, came home, mistook the pig for the baby, slopped little Patty and diapered the sow. But I'm sure Rent-A-Mourner can manage it. Your personal popularity will be boosted to high heaven even while you're on your way to hell.
All right. Next up, we have Kiri O'Connor.
Ryan McKittrick had everything. He was center on the minor league hockey Binghamton Senators, and he had a lovely girlfriend, Chrissy, about to turn 23. So Ryan planned a surprise for Chrissy's birthday, and that's where good intentions started paving the ice road to hell. Ryan arranged for a bunch of his townie buddies to skate out before the puck drop, holding placards spelling out, Happy 23 Chrissy. That birthday evening, after a couple of cases of Jenny Cream, the pals hatched other plans, if plans include breaking into a costume store. Soon Ryan's eagerly awaited moment came and went. The sloshed and oddly costumed pals wobbled onto the ice, proudly holding up their letters, reading, Crappy 23 Hissy. Ryan hauled off and punched letter C, dressed as Snow White. Both benches cleared, and soon SpongeBob, Shrek, Evil Clown, and Little Mermaid were sprawled on the ice. Fans rained down beer cups. It wasn't until Chewbacca ran the Zamboni into three opposing players that police arrived. And Chrissy? Ryan's a good guy. His friends are morons.
All right, a melee at the hockey rink from Kiri O'Connor. Your last story of someone who would really like to be liked comes from Adam Felber.
It's the most sought-after variety of endorsement in politics. Someone says, you see that guy up there on the TV screen? Well, I met him. Salt of the earth. Great guy. If you're a politician, you can't buy that kind of support. Unless you're Poughkeepsie, New York Mayor Craig Gerber, in which case you did. Yes, through the Freedom of Information Act, it was learned this week that Mayor Gerber's re-election campaign spent last fall deploying a strategy called, quote, Project Barfly. Here's how it worked. Staffers would scout local watering holes to identify the sort of gentleman at the end of the bar who seemed to be always talkative and, well, always there. And then the mayor would drop by and buy that fellow a drink, thus creating an army of walking, talking advocates, or at least wobbling, slurring advocates. Opponents have cried foul, but Mayor Gerber seems proud to have spun about 40 to 50 crippling addictions into pure political gold. Still, it's not clear that the strategy paid off. When asked about the election, one charter member of Project Barfly said, "I voted for what's-his-face."
All right. Larry, here's your choices. From PJ O'Rourke, you have a rent-a-mourner. From Kerry O'Connor, you have a holiday on ice gone completely south. And from Adam Felber, I think you would call that rent-a-drunk. Which is the real story of someone trying to seek more popularity than they deserve?
Wow, this is really hard. You know, I think I remember that back in medieval times even, they hired mourners for funerals. So I'm going to go with that story.
You're going to go with PJ's story, yeah, about the mourners for hire?
Yes.
Okay. Well, to find out the correct answer, we spoke to someone involved with the real story.
To me, the idea of attending funerals is not a fun job. If anybody would like to pay me to attend their weddings, that's a bit more like it.
Yes, that was Jasmine Bertels, founder of MoneyMagpie.com, who did market research for the mourner for hire business. Congratulations, Larry. You got it right. You've earned a point for PJ, and you've won our prize. Carl Castle will record the greeting on your voicemail.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, thanks for playing with
us
today.
Thank you, Larry.
And now the game where we invite big names to answer little questions. There might be a prettier voice in the world than our guests, but if there is, it belongs to a bird. And no way that bird looks as good in a leather jacket. He sang duets with Aretha Franklin. There is a bridge in India named after him. Social workers in Britain, this is true, have prescribed his voice to help with depression. His new album is My True Story. Aaron Neville, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Can I tell you the name of the group that was in London?
Yeah.
The Bananas, the British Awfully Nifty Aaron Neville Appreciation Society.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's awesome. So, Aaron, thanks so much for doing this. Have you ever listened to the show?
I have. Now, I was listening to it just now. It was kind of nuts, you know.
Yeah. No, it is. I'm sorry you had to do that.
No. I enjoyed it. I kind of get the one about the mourners also.
Oh, you would've?
I did get it. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Okay, good.
So you're playing at home. You're getting in the swing of it.
Yeah. Do I get a prize?
Yes. Yes. You do.
You get to be on the show.
All right. So, Aaron, you have one of the sweetest voices in music, and you're a big, scary-looking guy. I mean, you have
the total package.
Yeah, well, you've got like this tattoo of a sword on your face, and
yeah.
So, like, is the sweet voice compensating for your look, or is like the badass look to compensate for your sweet voice?
You know, I never get to answer that question myself. You know, like, I just take it as it comes and sing with Linda Ronstadt and Trisha Yearwood and all them people, you know, so I get the perks.
So are people ever surprised when they see you if they don't know what you look like?
Yeah, I've heard that before, you know, but I mean, it's cool. I think it's...
Do people ever think you're lying? You're not Aaron Neville.
Something they might say, has anybody told you that you look like Aaron Neville? I say, sometimes.
Yeah, But then, do you ever have to, like, sing for them to show them that you're like, the guy? You understand? I love the name.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry about that.
Oh, I mean, I used to sing my way into the movies when I was about 8 years old or something like that. So, you know, I was...
So you used to sing for the ticket taker to get entrance to the movie?
Right.
And you've probably got one of the most imitated voices in music. Even Beyonce has her own.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I enjoyed it. And it's flattery, you know? I used to see the guy on Saturday Night Live talking about the Coco, but I don't know where that come from. He had a cut-off jean jacket, and he was saying, "Yeah, I need the cocoa butter."
But I do have to say
an impression of an impression of an impression.
Yeah, You have single-handedly kept the cutoff jean jacket in fashion. I have to say that. You rocked that
day. Yeah, but I've given it up since I met Sarah. Sarah's got me dressing kind of up to date now. You know, I had to throw that. I had to throw the cutaway jean jacket away.
Oh, good
oh,
wife.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah.
That's the first thing women do, darn it. Yeah. To go through your closet and throw out all your favorite clothes. Yeah.
So, Aaron, I understand you went through something of a rough patch when you were a teenager, and you actually got busted for joyriding.
Yeah, but, I mean, we used to bring the cars back at least 2 blocks from where we take them from, you know.
Oh.
That was if we didn't get in a wreck.
No, you were a thoughtful. You were a thoughtful car thief.
That's the right thing to do. You can't leave it where you found it. Then they'd catch you.
Right.
No, it's about 3 blocks away.
Well, and I also understand you got your first tattoo at the age of 16. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, guys in New Orleans were doing tattoos, and it was almost a skull and crossbone. But somebody talked me out of it. You know, I said, "No, man, don't do that. Get the dagger." I said, "Okay, give me the dagger." And the guy's name was Jason Pickett. We was in school together, and he sat on my dad's back porch and put it on, and my dad came home. "Aaron, what you done?" I said, "I got a tattoo." And he made me go in the bathroom with octagon soap and a Brillo pad and scrub it.
A Brillo pad.
Yeah, the skin came off, but the tattoo stayed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like industrial defoliant there.
No.
Your new record is terrific. I've been listening to it all week.
Thank
and I see that Keith Richards co-produced it. You've been friends for a long time with Mr. Richards. Do you have any stories to tell? We love Keith Richards.
No, I mean, stories. All the stories I have, like we opened for the Stones in 81, and we first met there, and we started running across each other's paths ever since. And we always would, he'd call me to do a background part on something he was doing or whatever, you know.
So I understand you sang the national anthem for a professional wrestling match. What was that like?
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I'm friends with Bret the Hitman Hart, so like, you know, he'd call me to come in. One time I got in the ring with Hacksaw Jim Duggan and somebody, and he gave me this 2x4 and said, "Hit the guy." I said, "No, I'm not hitting the dude. I'm going to be throwing me around this ring." but it was fun. Macho Man, I was friends with him.
Bret the Hitman March, was that him?
And, Bret the Hitman Hart.
Hart, yeah. And yeah. Keith Richards, Don Was. What was your wedding like?
Oh, it was a quiet wedding. We just had 15 family and friends.
That sounds wise.
Yeah.
Considering some of the people that have been mentioned here.
Right. Did you ever cover somebody's song just because you didn't like them and you wanted to sing it better than them? Because it seems like that's the kind of thing that you could do all the time. Like, yeah, I'll show you. I'll sing your song.
Yeah.
And then nobody's going to listen to your version.
Yeah, you mess with me, I'm going to cover your song.
Y'all are crazy, you know that?
Yeah, we're public radio people. We're extremely passive aggressive.
Yeah, I know. Because honestly, that's what I would do if I had a weapon like that
right,
in my throat.
Yeah. Well, all right, Aaron Neville, now it's time for you to play a game that we're calling
I Do Know Much.
One of your big hits was Don't Know Much, of course, but we're going to ask you 3 questions about people who do know much. Jeopardy champions. Guess the correct answer, and you win Carl's voice on the home messaging machine of one of our listeners. Carl, who's Aaron Neville playing for?
Alyssa Rogers of Boulder, Colorado.
All right.
I'm ready.
Okay, here's your first question. 74-game Jeopardy winner Ken Jennings was asked the question, this term for a long-handled gardening tool can also mean an immoral pleasure seeker. Did Jennings answer, A, what is a roto-rooter? B, what is a hoe? Or C, what is the Charlie Sheen machine?
I think he said B.
And it is B. What? The correct answer was rake. Jennings, who was famously of the Mormon faith, when he said ho, he was teased by Alex Trebek saying, is that what they teach you in those schools in Utah? All right, here's your next question.
All right.
You may remember that IBM's Watson supercomputer took on Jeopardy champions and won. The scientists who designed it discovered it had one surprising problem, though. What? A, it couldn't operate without a daily serving of human blood. B, it cursed like a sailor once blurting out bull. C, it fell deeply in love with Alex Trebek.
I think it's C.
B, bull. You're right.
Well, who could blame it? Honestly, if you were that much smarter than everybody, wouldn't you just have to do that a lot?
But it's true. After uploading the Urban Dictionary in Watson's memories, the supercomputer began using inappropriate profanity at random, much as four-year-olds do when they learn one of Daddy's driving words. Unlike with children, programmers were able to scrub the new dictionary from Watson's hard drive. Okay, Aaron, here's your last question. Another question about Ken Jennings, the greatest Jeopardy champion of all time. He has said the single biggest problem that fame has caused him is what? A, old people won't stop touching him. B, Alex Trebek won't stop calling him, quote, just to talk. Or C, his local Starbucks guy constantly makes him order in the form of a question.
I think it's C.
No, it's actually A.
Oh, wow.
He says, old people can't keep their dry lilac-scented hands off me. Man, do old people ever love Jeopardy. I can't go anywhere in public where they might be old people, like Hallmark stores or cemeteries. Unquote.
Well, I'm only 45, but I've been watching Jeopardy since Art Fleming was on there.
All right, there you go. Carl, how did Aaron Neville do on our quiz?
Aaron, you had two correct answers, so you win for Alyssa Rogers. Congratulations.
All right. Aaron Neville's new album is My True Story. Aaron Neville, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
I had fun, man. It was real cool.
Oh, thanks. Fun for us. Thank you. Okay.
If you want something to play with, go and find yourself a toy. Baby, my time is too expensive, and I'm not a little boy.
In just a minute, Carl charges you $5 just to hear some rhymes in our Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Esurance, an Allstate company, offering Coverage Counselor, an online tool that provides car insurance options based on users' needs at esurance.com. Angie's List, providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed. More at angieslist.com. And Lumber Liquidators, hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring with a Floor Finder app for iPad and iPhone. Learn more at lumberliquidators.com. We'll be back in a minute with more Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Colonel Castle. We're playing this week with P.J. O'Rourke, Kerry O'Connor, and Adam Felber. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, and filling in for Peter Sagal, Tom Baudet.
Thank you, Carl. In just a minute, Carl leaves the rhyme on for you at Motel Limericks in our Listener Limerick Challenge. Let me do that again. I don't think you heard it. Yeah. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you, so pay attention. Kiri, the New York Auto Show opened this week, and with it we saw the very latest in automotive technology. This year, the huge leap into the future was provided by Honda, which announced that it will sell a minivan with its own onboard what?
It's a minivan with its own onboard. They don't give you a baby. I mean, that would be wrong.
It would be.
I think I might need a hand.
Okay, let's just say this van will suck.
That's a vacuum cleaner?
Mm-hmm. Vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
The 2014 Honda Odyssey will feature a built-in central vacuum system. Say goodbye to that mash of fries and goldfish crackers in the back. Now you can suck those beauties up as soon as they hit the carpet. And if you thought the kids could have fun fighting over the armrests, wait until you hand them a suction hose.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
This is why I have a pickup truck. Just put the kids in the back, and then you can hose it out.
Right. Well,
have your kids ever dropped anything in the car that you could just vacuum up?
Right.
No, it's true. Good
point. Never know. No. It's always Swedish fish. Worked into the rug.
The stuff that gets jammed behind the car seat.
Oh, man.
It puts off heat after a while.
Yeah. It composts. Hey, a composter. Now there's something to put in a car.
Good in a car. Yeah. Well, that's in the Prius.
Oh,
PJ, having conquered computers and battled malaria around the world, Microsoft founder Bill Gates is on to his next mission. He's putting up $100,000 to whomever can create a better what?
It could create a better, you know what I would like, and I'd kick in a little bit myself, you know, is Microsoft Word.
Let's just say it's time to trade in Trojan XP for Trojan Vista.
A better condom?
That's it.
$100,000 for
Bill Gates
condom.
Is offering a $100,000 prize for someone to create the next generation condom.
That's a terrible idea.
You know,
I'm going to wait till Apple comes out with one.
I mean, it's true.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
It'll be more intuitive.
I mean, it is a little questionable that Bill Gates is the one to take this on. I mean, there's two words you don't want associated with a condom. It's micro and soft.
Yeah, exactly. And
or Bill Gates, for that matter.
Right? He's not the first name you think of when you think of virus protection, either.
PJ. A British education expert told the BBC this week that today's children are missing something from their lives. What don't they have enough of?
I know it's not me. I've been home several times recently, and the kids have told me that was more than enough. So I am going to need a hint
okay,
on that.
Okay, here it is. Who needs Grand Theft Auto 5 when there's all this paint we could watch dry?
They don't have enough tedium in their life.
That's
boredom.
That's
in their life.
About right. Boredom, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we take ours to church.
That helps.
That works. Yeah, that sets the little wiggle worm off in them, I'll tell you. You know,
today's kids, you know, they're so overscheduled with soccer practice, French lessons, video games, all those crazy new drugs to try.
Yeah.
There's no idle time. And experts say when you're bored, that's when you develop your imagination. So parents who want their kids to be creative should try and bore them. So, like, instead of taking them to soccer practice, they should make them watch soccer.
No parent is that cruel.
Take that, most popular sport in the world.
I mean, is it possible that it's boredom that led to all the great discoveries and works of art?
Like America. Yeah, Columbus was bored.
I was bored.
I was bored. I didn't know what to do with myself.
You know, Dickens, he was like, oh, man. These are like the worst of times.
Yeah. But yet in another way, they're the best of times.
And all the great painters were bored. How bored do you have to be to saw your own ear off? You know?
That's bored. This is another one of those self-serving British studies, though, isn't it?
Because they're like, boring.
Yeah, we're a bunch of British scientists. We're
boring.
Dreadfully boring. How do we prove that this is good for our children?
Coming up, it's lightning fill in the blank, but first it's rhyme time, the word-weary listener limerick challenge. If you'd like to play along at home, you really should consider getting out of the house more. If you want to play on air, call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our show next week, April 4th, at the Coronado Theater in Rockford, Illinois. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Tom. My name is Jim Collins.
Hi, Jim. Where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Hamburg, Michigan.
Hamburg. You know, I grew up in Michigan. I don't know where Hamburg is.
Germany.
Hamburg is about 15 miles north of Ann Arbor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So what do you do there in Hamburg?
I'm kind of retired.
Kind of retired.
Yeah. My last job was I was driving truck. I was delivering steel beams.
All right. Well, that's a good, hearty work.
Yes, it was.
Do you miss it?
Not very much.
No? All right. Well, welcome to the show, Jim.
Thank you.
You know the drill. The one and only Carl Castle is going to read you three limericks about this week's news with the last word left for you to figure out. Get it right on two of the limericks and you're in the big time. Here's your first limerick.
We shop owners tend to agree to look around shouldn't be free. So hand us $5 while perusing our stock. All browsers must now pay a
fee.
Fee, exactly. A specialty store in Brisbane, Australia, is tired of people coming in, looking around, and then ordering the same products on Amazon, a practice known as showrooming. So they've instituted a $5 browsing fee. Now, we understand they need to protect their business, but any fool knows what you do is welcome them in and then charge them $5 to leave. All right, Jim, here's your next limerick.
To lick glue and get postage quite damp, I write cards till my hand gets a cramp. To save surface mail, Belgian plans will not fail. They put chocolate on every...
stamp.
Stamp, exactly. Sending mail is one of the few things left that we do that doesn't make us fat. Well, the Belgian Postal Service has fixed that. They've developed chocolate stamps. These new postage stamps come coated with cocoa powder, which you lick off before sticking on a letter someone else will have to touch. All right, very, very good, Jim. You've got two correct. Let's go for the victory lap. Here's your last limerick.
A germaphobe might be a jumpster, and a food critic might be a grumpster. There's real strong bouquet at our all-new trash cafe. We serve food that we found in a...
dumpster.
Dumpster. That's right. Hoping to shed that freshman 15, you might consider eating at Tufts student Maximu Thaler's on-campus cafe, Gleaner's Kitchen. The restaurant only serves food found in trash cans around Somerville. Some of the better trash cans in the greater Boston area, by the way. The cafe probably won't win a James Beard Award, but local hobo Bearded Jim just loves the place. Carl, how did Jim do?
Jim had three correct answers, so Jim, you win our prize. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Jim, thanks for playing.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tom.
Bye now. Now, on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill in the blank questions as he, or in Carrie's case, she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Carl, can you give us the scores?
P.J. O'Rourke has 3 points. He leads. K. Kerry O'Connor and Adam Felber. They both have 2 points each, and they are tied for second.
Okay, we've flipped the coin, and Adam is elected to go first. Adam, on Wednesday, Julie Pearson was sworn in as the first female director of the blank.
Secret Service.
Right. In a historic meeting this week, Pope Francis traveled to Castle Gandolfo to meet with blank.
Pope Benedict.
That's right. On Thursday, the city of New York appealed a ruling that overturned the ban on blanks over 16 ounces.
Soda.
Right. The teen girl from Pakistan who was targeted by the blank announced plans this week to publish a book.
Taliban.
Right. An Illinois man was arrested by New Jersey police this week after they found blank in his truck.
Wisconsin cheese.
Right. 42,000 pounds of stolen Munster cheese.
Yeah, cheese. Yeah.
With his win at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, blank regained his number one ranking this week.
Tiger Woods.
Right. The AP reported this week that after 5 decades on the air, television journalist and host of The View, blank, will retire in 2014.
Barbara Walters.
Yep. This week, wealthy people in Russia were caught avoiding traffic jams by blanking.
Calling ambulances.
That's right. Taking an ambulance. Canada's National Post has the story of people in Moscow paying $200 each to hire ambulance taxis. To put an end to it, police have begun randomly stopping and searching ambulances. That'll stop those crooks and anyone in desperate need of medical attention. Carl, how did Adam do?
Adam had 8 correct answers for 16 more points. He now has 18 points and a commanding lead.
Oh, very good. Kiri, you're up next. Fill in the blank. After being shut for almost 2 weeks, banks in blank opened on Thursday.
Cyprus.
Yes. In a speech at an ROTC dinner Tuesday night, blank apologized for the affair that led to his resignation.
David Petraeus.
Right. An inquest was held in the death of Boris Berezovsky, the Russian tycoon known for his falling out with blank.
Vladimir Putin?
Yes. This week, Boeing successfully tested the new battery system on its blank planes.
Dreamliner.
Yes. Officials compiling a list of new Swedish words have backed down after getting a trademark infringement complaint over the word blank.
Oh, that was fart.
No, I don't think that's been patented. It's ungoogleable, or in Swedish, ogooglebar. Because of a back injury, figure skater Dorothy Hamill was the first to leave the TV show blank.
Dancing with the Stars.
Right. After he was indicted for fraud, Groundhog Blank's handler took responsibility for the failed weather forecast.
Punxsutawney Phil.
Right. After a student was injured, a school district in the UK is finally looking for safer blanks.
Safer. A student was injured. The food, the triangular food that can't eat anymore.
Yes, we'll give it to you. Granola bars. When a student threw his triangle granola bar at another student and,
oh my God,
and hit him in the face, school officials immediately banned the triangle-shaped granola bars because they are just too dangerous, saying only square granola bars would be allowed from now on. Critics quickly noted that square granola bars actually have more pointy parts than triangles.
One more, actually, technically speaking.
The safest bar of all, though, is the O'Google bar. Carl, how did Kiri do?
Kiri had 7 correct answers for 14 more points. She now has 16 points, but Adam still has the lead with 18.
All right, and now how many... Now, how many does PJ need to win?
He needs 8 correct answers.
Okay, PJ, this is for the game. Fill in the blank. The New Jersey man who won the $338 million blank jackpot celebrated by putting his bodega up for sale.
Blank lottery.
Right. The Powerball. On Tuesday, Italy's highest court overturned the acquittal of American student blank and ordered a new trial.
Amanda Knox, is that right?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Ashley Judd announced Wednesday that she would not be running for the U.S. Senate in blank.
Kentucky, isn't it?
Yep. On Wednesday night, the Chicago Bulls beat the blank, ending their 27-game winning
streak. Miami Heat, I do know.
Right.
I may have been vegetating in front of the television all week, but you know, not without purpose.
A British couple is threatening to sue after they were simultaneously injured while trying to avoid blank.
That new condom that
that might do it, but no, it was to avoid dog poop on the sidewalk. Michael and Anna Webster of, I'm not making this up, Spilsby, were innocently walking along a footpath when disaster struck. As Michael said, quote, "My wife pointed towards some you-know-what on the footpath. I turned to look where she was pointing, missed the step, tripped and fell on her. She broke her arm. I fractured my wrist and landed on my ribs. It was very unfortunate that I landed on my wife." The poop in question has apologized. Carl, did PJ do well enough to win?
PJ had 4 correct answers for 8 more points. He now has 11 points, but with 18 points, Adam Felber is this week's champion.
Oh. All right. Congratulations.
Adam. Thank you very much. Curie, well played.
Well, in just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict how that 17-year-old British software engineer will blow his $30 million.
Support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at hyatt.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Pimsleur Language Program, celebrating 50 years in 2013 and offering portable audio courses in 50 languages. Pimsleur.com. RDO, a digital music service allowing listeners to discover millions of songs and listen everywhere. RDIO.com. And the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for home ownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Astropants Berman, Chief Executing Officer. Philip Gotica writes the limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern is Miles Mighty Mighty Dorn Bostones. Our web boss is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Stolarczyk and Mohammed Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction from Lorna White. Special thanks today to Gary Yeck. Our production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog. The executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mike, just call me Mike, Danforth. Now, panel, how will that teenager blow his $30 million? P.J. O'Rourke.
Well, $30 million is about what college education costs for a kid these days. As far as I can, he's gonna spend it to get a college education so he can get a good job.
Right. Kerry O'Connor.
He's gonna blow it on cars he can't drive, women he can't date, and liquor he can't drink.
And Adam Felber.
He's gonna wait 2 years and then he's gonna buy Yahoo.
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Carl Castle. Thanks also to Kerry O'Connor, P.J. O'Rourke, and Adam Felber. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Tom Baudet, and Peter, we'll see you next week. This is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.